Back here on One-on-One, New York's longest-running sports call-in show, and we have a very special guest for you this afternoon. We bring on Thomas Kail, the director of the new Broadway play Lombardi, which previews on Broadway on September 23rd and premieres on October 21st. It's a play that centers around the coaching career of the legend Vince Lombardi. We bring on the director now, Thomas Kail. Thomas, it's Chris and Kyle in New York. How's it going?
It's going very well. Thank you for having me.
And it's a pleasure to have you on. I know I can speak for Kyle as well as myself. We're very excited to see this this play come to fruition at some point. So it's going to happen in the near future. So let me start off with this. How did this idea come to fruition? And I know that you were brought in a little bit later in the development stages by the producers, being that you're the director. But how did the idea come to fruition, and how did you get involved?
The two producers, Tony Bonturo and Fran Kermser, both came together at some point last year, you know, May of last year, and had an idea to do a play about Lombardi. And David Marinus's book, When Pride Still Mattered, felt like it was the right source material for that. Tony's someone who came from the Anheuser-Busch world and big football fan, big sports fan his whole life, and Fran was someone who performed and was also an athlete, and they both sort of found their way to theater. So they found themselves drawn to this, and then they got in contact with David Marinus, who introduced them to Eric Simonson. And Eric Simonson is a wonderful playwright, and he and David had a previous relationship working on a different project. And so David said, this is my guy, and the New York Times wrote an article about it in the sports pages. And I actually read the sports section before I read the art section, which is hard for some people to believe. And this was in November of last year. They wrote an article about their intentions in announcing the show, and I felt like this was something that spoke to me in a number of ways, and I really wanted to try to get in the room and see if I could work on the show. So I fooled him, and here I am.
Well, I think you kind of just answered a little bit, but what was your motivation for becoming part of this play? I'm sure it was you didn't have to second guess yourself at all when they asked, but what is your, I guess, sports fanhood background coming into this and your motivation for being the director for it?
First time, long time. I grew up in Alexandria, Virginia. I was a huge Redskins, Bullets, Caps, and Orioles fan, and I played soccer and baseball my whole life. And at a certain point in my life, I was able to see things in my head that I couldn't necessarily execute anymore. So I started coaching youth soccer and youth baseball and working a lot of summer camps as a counselor and coach. So when I started doing theater, which was about halfway through my junior year of college, kind of late, I went to Wesleyan University in Connecticut. And, you know, I lived with four guys on the soccer team and the captain of the basketball team because I understood being around athletes. And then a buddy of mine, a former soccer player, said, hey, I want you to come and work in the theater with me. And I had sort of realized very quickly that coaching and directing had a lot in common. And so the idea of, you know, practice and rehearsal, the game and the show, preseason and pre-production, all of these things had very direct correlations to me. So I'd been long fascinated with coaches. You know, I grew up, Joe Gibbs was a real hero of mine, and Coach K and John Thompson and, you know, Earl Weaver and all these guys. So I always loved managers and coaches and found myself, you know, identifying with them a lot more than the players who were able to do things that I definitely couldn't do. So a play about a coach felt like it was combining two things I was really passionate about.
Thomas, Dan Lauria stars in this play. He characterizes Vince Lombardi, and Judith Light is his wife, Marie. Tell us a little bit about how it was working with these two, this actor and this actress, who are very accomplished. Lauria, previously in The Wonder Years, and Judith Light, most known for One Life to Live. Tell us a little bit about how it was working with these two stars.
It was fantastic. You know, I'd known Dan since 2002. We had collaborated on a play called The Guys about a fire captain after 9/11 who was hooking up with a writer to try to find a way to express his grief and write eulogies for men that he had lost. And so Dan and I had this very intense experience working on this show, you know, in 2002 and 2003 in New York City. And so we just kind of really bonded. I mean, we didn't know each other at all. The writer introduced us, and we became you know, really friends through work. And so when I started thinking about this project, and when I was in the room with the producers, and we started talking about people who could bring this man to life, you know, Dan was certainly in my mind. Whether I knew him or not, I think he probably would have been, considering I'm of an age where you grow up and you know, and Jack Arnold was sort of your dad, whether he whether he was or he wasn't. And so Dan was someone that I knew and had worked with, and Judith was someone who I'd long admired. You know, I knew her from Ugly Betty and Who's the Boss and all these other shows, and had seen her, you know, perform, you know, as a stage actress as well. And she and Dan actually have known each other since One Life to Live. So they'd been friends for over 25 years. And, you know, the first time she walked in the room, I just thought, okay, well, there's Marie. It was really that simple. So it was really a very, you know, it was a rigorous process, you know, of getting, you know, the play in shape for going out of town. But the two of them could not have been more delightful or made it easier for me.
Thomas Kail, the director of Lombardi, joining us here on One on One. As far as Dan Lauria goes, prior to picking him, were you guys sitting in a room together at one point thinking, all right, we got to find somebody that looks like Vince Lombardi, much less can act?
You know, it's a tricky thing when you're dealing with someone who is so much part of the iconography of America. I mean, this is someone who transcended sports even in his own day. Mm-hmm. You know, even by the second championship, he was on the cover of Time magazine. So, you know, he was being brought in by businesses, and you know, people know him because their dad sold insurance, not just because they watched football. So I knew that we were never going to be able to get the guy. What you're trying to do is capture the essence and try to, you know, have something about that presence that feels like you are around whatever that energy was. And I think, you know, David's book talks a lot about what that impact was on the players and the people that Vince, you know, was in contact with throughout his life. So Dan was someone that, you know, he was a former football player. He was a Marine. He was someone who, you know, his dad was a truck driver. Dan made things with his hands. Dan was a guy from Long Island where my dad grew up who just felt like someone that's, could take this on and had the size of personality and the inspiration within him that I think makes you want to be better, and I think that's what Vince did for so many people that he bumped up against.
Now, Thomas, the play is titled Lombardi, but that doesn't really give us much inside what's the content of it. And when you read the description, it says it's not just a play for football fans and it's not just about football.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if you take us a little bit inside, how does this play appeal to the football fan, and how does it appeal to the non-football fan?
Well, I think what's great about what Eric decided to do was not write a play that was born here, lived, did this, died here. What Eric did was he took a week in 1965. So at that point, Vince had won two championships and had you know, come in second the last couple years, which he was not very happy about. And Eric created a moment in time sort of leading up to one of the final games of that season where a reporter comes to stay with Vince and write an article about him. So that gives us a way in. And the other characters in the play are Paul Hornung, Jim Taylor, and Dave Robinson. So we have those three players kind of represent, you know, very distinct members of that team. And it gave us a chance to see Vince interact not only with his players, which is something that we're a little more familiar with, but what it's like to see Vince at home with Marie. Marie was really, you know, the backbone of that relationship and is really the heartbeat of this play. So I think that it's something that is set very clearly in the world of football. But I think that the football fan can feel satisfied because of the authenticity and the attention to detail that we have, and the fact that, you know, these are moments in time about real things that happened that I think allow anybody in, you know, someone who's interested in, you know, what it's like to be a member of a family, or someone who had a dad that was hard on them, or someone whose mother struggled with this or that. So I think that there's a real humanity that Eric's captured that allows everybody in, and I think there's an attention and a precision about how we're trying to approach the sports, because we clearly can't have football played out on stage in any way that's going to be a reasonable facsimile. I think everybody would be disappointed. But the participation of the NFL has given us access to, you know, the sights and the sounds of things with such authenticity. You know, if we talk about a game in 1965, we're going to be listening to things that were recorded in 1965 at Lambeau Field. And I always appreciate that as an audience member, and it's something that I want to bring to this as the director.
Well, it's something that actually you brought up that I wanted to ask you about. How, during the development process, have you partnered with the NFL? And from there here on out, when it comes out now, how are you guys partnering with the National Football League in conjunction with the play?
Well, you know, my relationship with them is quite distinct than the producers. Tony and Fran have a partnership with them, and that was something that existed before I was involved. You know, the way that it impacts me, which is sort of like a kid in the candy store, is, you know, like, I'm taking a trip down to Philadelphia and sitting in a room with Steve Sable, who's, you know, talking about when he first went with his dad, you know, to the Ice Bowl, and he was a cameraman and he was 19 years old. And then they say, you want to come see the Vault, which has every game for the last 60 years? And so there's that part of me that, you know, that watches ESPN every night that kind of can't believe I'm there. And it's in terms of the access, you know, that they've opened up their sound library, that they've opened up the, you know, the Vault in that way, as I mentioned. That to me is what makes this collaboration particular. You know, I know that I'm someone, when you watch a sports movie or, you know, when you're growing up and you're a kid playing a sports video game, if it's not the real thing, if it's not the real players, or if it's not licensed in that way and doesn't have that kind of authenticity, it feels like something's missing or it pulls me out. And I think this gives us a chance, you know, in the world of the theater to try to reach and attain that. And I think the partnership with the NFL and their support has been really essential, you know, on the creative side for me.
Thomas, you mentioned Vince Lombardi as an iconic figure, not just in football history and not just in the history of sports, but in American history. How did you use your knowledge of sports and your overall knowledge to help Dan Laurie, your lead actor, characterize this iconic figure?
Well, you know, the one thing that's great about working with someone like Dan is, you know, is that we each kind of take turns leading the discussion. You know, we've had this, you know, this background. We've spent years telling stories and, you know, and kind of and swapping tales about X, Y, or Z. So basically what we did was we just had a little more focus on this. You know, I have some, you know, some people that were able to get me in touch with former players. So I got a chance to talk to Sonny Jurgensen and Sam Huff and Bob Skoronski, you know, people that played with Lombardi. And so when we went up to Green Bay and Dan was there along with Eric Simonson, the writer, and the producers and David Marinus, just walking around and talking to people that met him or knew him, we would each just discover something. And it's not necessarily something that you'll see on stage, but it's something that could inform, you know, the way that Vince maybe would relate to someone. Or you actually got to see in a very human way, 40 years later, how strong that impact was. Vince Lombardi is absolutely palpable in the air in Green Bay to this day. And Eric and David, you know, are two you know, the people that are our source material, David writing the book and Eric writing the play, are both from Wisconsin. And so it's really in their bones. And I think that what Dan and I tried to do, along with the rest of the company, is just read as much as we could, watch as much as we could, and then also know that we had to create our own version of Vince Lombardi for this particular play.
Thomas Kail, the director of Lombardi, joining us here on One-on-One. And let me ask you about Green Bay. How has this been received by the NFL? How has this been received by the state of Wisconsin, by the town of Green Bay? How have they taken to you kind of personifying Vince Lombardi, who died about 40 years ago, and kind of recreating him in this play?
With open arms and incredibly gracious. You know, I think that, you know, I was very aware, as we all were, when we arrived in Green Bay, of what we were dealing with. And then that just deepened as I started to, you know, have the chance to visit Lambeau. They allowed us into his house, and, you know, there we were, you know, in the basement of the rec room where they would have these parties that they had after every game for 9 years. And, you know, and it's the stools are still there. It's a different family that lives there. And so because of that, you know, the access they gave us, I think we just wanted to convey to them that we were going to take care of this story, that we were going to try to bring honor to it, which didn't mean that it's going to only be all of the things that worked. It's also about showing someone's humanity. And David's book is something that I think really opened a lot of people's eyes to the complexity of the man. And the fact that we were with David gave us great entree, because David is someone who they know has done right by them and done right by Coach Lombardi. So the fact that David was able to be present with us and sort of endorse us in that way, even by his presence and his words, I think allowed them to trust us. And I think that there's a lot of folks that came to see the show when we were in Massachusetts from that area that really kind of wrapped their arms around it. And it was very meaningful for us, because it's vitally important to us that they know that we're, you know, that we're on the up and up, and that we're, you know, trying to tell a story that we think is really meaningful, and we want to do it right.
For the lay listener who might not know too much about the production side or the direction of a Broadway play, take us inside your life a little bit and how long it took you from the beginning to the end, or if the end is not, you know, if you're still working on it, how long did it take you from the beginning of time you started directing this play until now, and how much of your life was consumed by it over that duration?
Well, you know, it's certainly still, you know, mid-climb right now. I started working on the play probably about 8 or 9 months ago, and it's just something that it's a part of your life. It becomes, really everywhere, from design meetings and trying to figure out with your designers the shape of the play and how the play is going to move and what the set is and how you're going to try to achieve a moment with footage and with sound and with music. It's just constant meetings and conversations and trying to evolve ideas to basically have the best one win. Ultimately, I'm not about ego. It's really whoever can sit in a room and come up with the best idea, that's the one that we need to run with. And the next day it might not be the best idea anymore, but you have to have a place to end the day and know that you're not going to solve it all, but you have to have your list. You have 10 things. And if you can cross off 10 things a day, then I think you're in pretty good shape. So right now we've got about another week and change before we start rehearsal again for the Broadway production. And I'm heading down to NFL Films this coming Monday to go with my sound designer and to talk to their sound editors and their music editors about some stuff that they're pulling for us. It's just a lot of phone conversations. I just finished a meeting with the producers just so we could kind of check in, and I'm, talking constantly to the writer as he continues to do new drafts of the script and work and kind of massage scenes. And then once we get into the room, those 3 weeks in rehearsal before we get into the theater, then it's about staging the play. The play is being done in the round at Circle in the Square, so that means the audience is on all sides. And that's a really particular challenge for theater, and it's the only Broadway theater that has an audience on all sides. So it's a perfect fit for our show, but it also presents a certain kind of opportunity for us that we have to really bring our A-game, so to speak. And I think, the designers are all up for it, and it's my job to make sure everyone's on the same page and marching in the same direction. And so that's sort of the gist of the kind of day-to-day. When I'm in rehearsal, it's 10 to 7 in rehearsal every day, and then you rehearse 6 days a week. You have Sundays off, to watch football, of course. And then you're just moving into the theater and adding the technical elements, and then you're in the theater for 3 weeks doing shows at night and rehearsing 6 hours a day, just trying to put everything in a place where you know that it can be strong enough to live on its own. And because once the show opens, I'll be around and attending the show, but then the show has to really be able to run itself. It has to work without me and far beyond, anything that I can do. It's really up to the company to go and deliver it 8 times a week.
Well, Thomas, if this has been a sales pitch, you've sold me. I think you've sold probably a lot of our listeners, too, who know that Vince Lombardi has deep Fordham roots from playing and coaching here. So I'll leave you off with this one. What is the best way for a person to go about getting tickets, finding a way to get to the event? I know it previews on September 21st. It premieres on October 21st. But what's the best way for somebody to go about getting tickets to see it?
The tickets are being sold at the box office. You can go online to LombardiBroadway.com, and you can get tickets that way. And that has also the phone number, through all of the telecharge of it all. And I think that what's important about this show for us is that people come to see it early and I think have an open mind, because I think people are going to be really surprised. There's great humor in it. There's a real passion for the storytelling that we have, and we're trying to cultivate a new audience for Broadway and have people who maybe have never been invited to the dance, come and join us, and also embrace everyone who lives in New York and has a chance to come and see shows frequently. We think it's a show that really, if we tell it honestly, has a little something for everybody.
Previews September 23rd, premieres on October 21st. Lombardi on Broadway. You can buy the tickets at the box office. Go to LombardiBroadway.com, get the phone number. One way or another, try and get out to see this play. I know I will. I know Kyle will. Thomas, it looks great. It sounds great, and I'm very excited to go see it, and we thank you very much for coming on with us today.
I really appreciate you guys having me.
That is Thomas Kale, the director of Lombardi, previewing on September 23rd and premiering on October 21st on Broadway.